Hey, this is Matt Cain with the San Francisco Giants, and you guys are listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants with hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, and Ben Lee.
Let's go!
Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball history, the San Francisco Giants. This is TortureCast.
Welcome, everybody, to the TortureCast. The podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. I'm your host, Chad, and joining me today is no one in particular. That's right, Willie is MIA, and Ben is enjoying his birthday week in Toronto. So I don't have a co-host tonight, but I did not want to pass up the chance to at least throw a few nuggets of goodness out there, because the baseball gods are smiling very brightly on the San Francisco Giants right now. The Giants actually do have the best record in all of the land of baseballs. So pretty incredible at 32-19. They're better than the A's, who have the best record in the AL. So we have the Bay Area representing the two best teams in Major League Baseball. So that's pretty sweet. In fact, I wouldn't turn my eye against another Bay Bridge World Series. That would be pretty cool. Hopefully with a different result. Better than the Dodgers, the Tigers, the Red Sox, the defending world champions, you name it, the Giants have a better record than them. So I figured I want to go ahead and podcast this bitch until, you know, things fall flat, which I'm sure will happen at some point, because a lot of us Giants fans are what you would call pessimistic, as I sip my rum and coke. But good news is good news, and right now they do lead the Dodgers by 4.5 games in the NL West, and the Rockies by 5. I looked up last year because Angel Pagan went down on May 25th of last year, and that seemed to send the Giants into a bit of a spiral. That's kind of using that term a little bit lightly. But they were 28-23 at this point last year after 51 games, and that's 4 games back of where they are now. So at least they're exceeding the pace of last year. And they were only a game and a half out at this time last year. Also note, at this time last year, though, and this is kind of the other side of the coin, the Dodgers were in last place, and they were a full 7 games back and 7 games under 500. We kind of know where that ship went, so this is why we can't get too excited yet. It's great having the best record in all of Major League Baseball, but it means jack sulu at this point in the season right now. You take right there, you know, the LA Dodgers, they were 7 games under 500. You know, what are the Giants, 13 games above 500 right now? That's a 20-game difference or a 10-game difference if we led the Dodgers by that much right now. And, of course, they went on that incredible 42-8 run and ended up demolishing the NL West. So let's just kind of hold it here. They're only 4.5 back, so we need to hopefully bury them. Thank God we have a winning record against them this year. So let's look at the last week in review. Ben and I recorded last Monday, and since then, the Giants have gone 4-2, and they had, of course, one suspended game in Colorado, which will assumedly be resumed in August when they go ahead and go back to Colorado. It was suspended in the sixth inning, I think, with a couple of runners on in the bottom of the sixth with one, wait, no, two, I think it was two outs and one runner on, and I think Tulowitzki or whomever was up at the plate. And it was tied at 2-2. And one question I always had in these situations is, what if the current players on the field, including the runners, are no longer with that team or on the DL when they resume that game? I wonder how that affects the rosters. I'm assuming it doesn't. You know, it's not like it's a substitution at that point and they lose a bench player. It's whomever replaced that person or whomever they deem worthy to go ahead and take that spot on the field. That's what's going to happen. So, but it's the same for both teams. Anyway, it's a curiosity of baseball. That doesn't happen that often. Typically, games will be called before the fifth if they cannot be resumed, and they'll have to be completely replayed. Or, of course, one of the teams is ahead after the fifth inning. But in this case, That did not happen. They were both tied as of the end of the fifth, and they were still tied as the game was going on in the sixth. So they have to resume that. So all stats count so far, even if they can't complete that. So one person whom we talked about as getting hot last week is Pablo Sandoval, and he has continued his hot streak now over a two-week period. But just over the last week, he's been hitting 360, and that's great. The previous week, he also hit 389, as we noted last podcast. But what's more important is that he's hit four bombs in his last seven games with 11 RBI. 7 games ago, he only had 11 RBI. So he's doubled his RBI total in the last week, and that's pretty incredible. And what's even more incredible is that Posey is actually owns a slugging percentage lower than Pablo now. In fact, it's I believe it's 419 to 413. So as of right now, Pablo's actually hitting the ball a little bit better than Posey in terms of power. However, average Posey is still hitting 264, but he has been struggling. And I know he's had a little bit of a back and neck issue, and I'm sure that's bugging him. And he's the type of guy that you know, probably isn't leading on as much as maybe he needs to be because he wants to be in there all the time. But he's hitting a paltry 128 over his last 11 games. And even Bochy's noted that he hasn't been seeing the ball very well. This is definitely not the MVP performance they were hoping for, but there's plenty of baseball left. And certainly there's no moves to be made at this point. 264 ain't the end of the world. However, Hunter Pence, who started the season extremely slow, just like Pablo, picked it up earlier, though, than him, is now hitting 289 for the season. Pablo was up to 239, which is great. I mean, considering he was down at 180 for the first 2 months of the season. But Pence is up to 289 with 6 jacks and 18 RBI. So he's been doing fantastic. There's been nothing wrong with Hunter Pence with his crazy swing. In fact, that home run that he hit in Colorado, I mean, I know Colorado fly balls can turn into home runs there, but that was one of the ugliest swings I've ever seen in my life, and it was a home run. In fact, I think I need to retweet that GIF on the homepage because that was a thing of the opposite of beauty. That was a thing of ugliness, but it was beautiful in its own way because it produced a moonshot into center field, into the Christmas tree farm, or close to it. I think it was the bullpen. But Hunter Pence is just a very unique individual, and he uses that kale power in very odd ways. So keep up with that Hunter Pence batting camp, Hunter. I'm going to send my kid to that, because if you can hit home runs like that with a swing like that, it's worth it. So the Giants did sweep the Twins. They completed that sweep yesterday, and the Giants remain a perfect 6-0 against the American League. No other National League team has an undefeated record with that many games. The Marlins are 3-0. But, of course, that's half as many games. Unfortunately, though, they did run into the buzzsaw, known as the perennial powerhouse, the Chicago Cubs, who win every single World Series, and you need to fear them as though you fear the Detroit Tigers or the Boston Red Sox or the Los Angeles Dodgers. Okay, no, I'm not very serious about that. But the Giants did face the Cubs today, and including their ace, Jeff Samardzija, who actually leads the National League in ERA, with some one-point microscopic crap. But what was really incredible about Samardzija's case is that he has not won, the Cubs have not won, in his last 16 starts. And his ERA has been under 2 during that period of time. This is the epitome of getting caned. He absolutely gets no run support. He's almost always shut out. Or maybe their team scores one run. It's absolutely incredible. So what do the Cubs do on the road in a pitching-friendly park against the team with the best record in all of the land? What do? He finally wins. But Jeff got a nice beer shower. And, you know, kudos to them. Cubs need something. Schuerholz hit a home run. It's all good. Whatever. So they still have 2 more against the Cubs this week. Here's something I thought was a little peculiar. MLB.com has this really cool postseason predictor, and I have no idea how the algorithm works. But as of today, they say that the Giants have a 53.8% chance of winning the NL West and an 88.6% chance of making the postseason. Sounds good, right? Do you want to put money on the Giants? Who knows? But just a note, MLB.com also had the Dodgers at a 91% chance to win the West at the beginning of the season and had the Giants at 49%. So that's almost double the chance there. That's pretty insane. And already the Giants now have a better chance than the Dodgers, even considering, I think, what they are considering on paper, the Dodgers are better than the Giants. So screw you, predictor. More wins for us. All right, the big question. So we've all heard of the June swoon, and in fact, I seem to have latent horrible memories of the Giants always having a losing record in the month of June. And although I didn't go extremely far back into my childhood, dark days of Giants baseball, I still seem to recall that the last 5 years really weren't that good in terms of record in June, but the stats don't actually bear it out for the last four seasons. In fact, last year, they did have a losing record in June, 10-17. That was right after the Angel Pagan injury, so that kind of was to be expected. But the previous three seasons, including their championship season of 2012, they went 17-11. They also went 17-11 in 2011. Say that three times fast. And then their first championship season in 2010, they were just around 500 at 13-14. So for the last four seasons, their June record combined has been 57-53. So really not a horrible record. I mean, if the Giants can just play 500 in June, they're going to be in this thing. No problem. I mean, the Giants have not had this good of a record at this point. In fact, the number of wins the Giants have had heading into June over the last 4 years are 29, 27, 29, and 27. So basically, they've averaged 28 wins over the last four seasons. Right now, they have 32, and they still have another, what, four or five games here in the month of May. They could be heading into the month of June with five, six, or even seven more wins than they've ever had going into June. So that's a bit of a head start, considering two of those last 4 years, they won the World Series anyway. So I think some of the Giants naysayers out there really need to get a grip on reality at this point. And aside from another devastating Pagan-like, Posey-like injury, the Giants are going to be in this thing. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. And they're 4.5 games up on the Dodgers right now. The Dodgers, I don't think, are ever going to pull off another 42 wins in 50 games. It's just, I just don't see that happening. That's kind of a once in a 20, 30, 40-year thing. Just like pitching two no-hitters in a row. Oops, getting ahead of myself. But anyway, the June swoon doesn't seem to be a big problem for the Giants. They should be fine. They should be at least 500, if not a few games above. And if they are, they're going to be the thick of everything, so no problems. All right, so armchair manager, is Yusmeiro Petit still the sixth starter? Right now, he owns a 5.08 ERA after getting torched today by the Cubs, which just doesn't sound right. That seems, it's like getting torched by a high school team or something. He also has a 275 batting average against. So right now, he's not pitching extremely well, but he certainly has had a couple of really good starts filling in for Matt Cain and others. He had his near no-no/perfect game last year. He's had flashes of brilliance. He has the stuff. He has the stamina and the longevity to make it through a game. He just seems to be going well, and then he'll just lose it for an inning or two. And I think the big problem is that he can't scatter hits very well. When they come in bunches, and that's exactly what happened today. It was just a hit parade by the Cubs. They had 10 hits by the fifth inning, most of them off of Petit. So as far as an alternative, there may be someone in AAA like a Jake Dunning or what have you, but I don't see that. I don't see them being any better than Petit. In fact, Petit's ERA is only a little bit more than a half a run higher than Lincecum's right now, and there's the argument to be made that if you're the sixth starter or emergency starter, you're going to have a little rust on you. So you got to kind of give someone the benefit of the doubt if they're coming in on an inconsistent basis, because they cannot get into that every fifth day rhythm that starters cherish. So it's a little bit of a tough role to play in, not to mention the fact that part of that ERA has come from mop-up and long relief absorption innings where, you know, you're either up by a ton or down by a ton, and you're just throwing slop. you're just trying to get contact to get through the inning. And sometimes you string a few hits and runs together. So the focus is basically not theirs as much as, let's say, a close inning or close game, late game reliever, or of course a starter. So right now I'm going to say Petit should be the sixth starter, the emergency starter. But if he blows a few more games like this, I may change my mind. All right, the week ahead, they have two more against the Chicago Cubs before they wrap up and then fly off to St. Louis to wrap up the week. St. Louis is going to be tough. They've been playing much better lately, and even though the Giants have a very good road record and a very good home record, it remains to be seen if they're going to go start cooling off here. I think Posey cooling off, being replaced by Pablo, is exactly kind of the microcosm of what the Giants need. Once one part goes down, there's another one to pick up the slack. So you figure how cold Pablo was for most of the season. You got guys like Michael Morse and Brandon Hicks and even, you know, Buster Posey when he got hot, kind of making up for that. And now that some of those guys have gone cold, although Morse really hasn't, but Hicks has definitely gone pretty cold. He's hitting under 200. He's leading the team in strikeouts. He has eight bombs, but it remains to be seen if that power surge is actually going to be what keeps him as the starting second baseman, you know, after the All-Star break, I would say. If he still has, you know, eight home runs or nine or 10 by then, is he still going to be the starting second baseman when he's hitting 180 or 170 at that time, leading, you know, the team in strikeouts? It remains to be seen. But the fact of the matter is, this Giants team doesn't have that one guy that stands out, doesn't have that one ace that stands out. They have a different star every single day. And one guy will get hot for a couple of weeks while a couple other guys get cold. And then that guy goes cold and the other couple guys get a little bit hot. So it just seems like everything's working for them. It's much better to, I think, instead of the entire team to get hot for a couple of weeks and then the entire team to get cold for a couple of weeks, is to kind of have that dichotomy, that little bit of back and forth, that even keel, if you will, of overall production, where a couple of cogs in your wheel are going to get cold, but the rest of them are more than productive. And everything kind of waxes and wanes at an even pace. I think that's exactly what a championship team needs to rely upon. It's consistency. You don't want to have the episodic winning streaks, which are great, but then followed by an episodic horrendous losing streak, because that asks and just screams for 500 or sub-500 baseball. I think it's a consistency that will enable you to win 2 out of 3 games, and or 3 out of 5. You know, 600 baseball is basically championship baseball. And the Giants are above that right now. They're at 627. So they're on pace to win over 100 games, you know, this year. A lot of guys like Michael Morse on pace to hit over 100 RBI. So it's good right now. I don't think we can expect them to win, you know, 100 games this year. I don't think they will. But I think 90, 92 is a reasonable level to shoot for. And I think that it might be good enough to win the West, although you might have to get 93, 94 to win the West, but it certainly is good enough to make the wild card. You just don't want to put all your dice into just that one game playoff. And that's what really scares me about the whole wild card proposition. At least the, you know, winning the division gives you a chance to win, you know, 3 games out of 5. So you can blow a couple of games like the Giants did last year or 2 years ago against Cincinnati. And then, of course, against St. Louis as well. It gives you that buffer, because in those situations, if you had lost first, you're out in the wild card, and they would have never had the chance to win the World Series. So anyway, screw you, MLB postseason predictor. Giants have a better chance now than the LA Dodgers. All right, so the last thing I wanted to cover actually was about Hunter Pence. And unfortunately, It's a dark day in American history to have to report this, but his beloved scooter was stolen this week. That's right. He went to a steakhouse. I think it was near the base of the Bay Bridge, and he put it apparently near the waiter's entrance, and he doesn't lock it up. And the reason he doesn't lock it up, he says, according to him, is that he has a rare battery charger, or at least a rare battery charger is needed to charge the batteries on his electric scooter. And so he figured, well, why is anyone ever going to need to steal this? Because they're not going to be able to use it. I don't, you know, the only thing about Hunter is that's what he knows. But I think the perpetrator is like, hey, scooter, sweet, it's 100 pences, I'm going to get it. So anyway, He's a little sad right now. In fact, I have some choice quotes from him after the perpetrator stole his scooter. Quote, "I try not to be too attached to things, even though I have a bobblehead with it," Penn said Monday. "I felt it was an extension of me," said Giants manager Bruce Bochy of his perpetual upbeat right fielder.
"He had a sad face on this morning. I've never seen that."
Pardon my horrible Bochy impression there. And then he also said, quote, "I did have a dream that I saw someone writing it and tackled him," Penn said with a laugh. "You can't control your dreams." So he's having a little bit of, you know, levity with this, trying to look at the bright side of things. And he has actually offered a reward for the safe return of his beloved scooter. In fact, he's offering a signed bobblehead, which of course depicts him on said scooter, but also an actual electric scooter of the same make and model itself. So that's pretty freaking sweet. So hopefully the person who did take that will wake up and go ahead and return that scooter. But of course, in the realm of problems in the world and our country, it's not exactly ranking high on my list of priorities. All right, so my new favorite guy for this week is Pablo Sandoval. I think he's finally turned it around, even though he's still hitting 239 overall. If he continues this hot streak, I think there's no reason he couldn't end the season around 270 or 280, which is completely respectable. And as we talked about last week, maybe even that will suppress his market value to the point where the Giants can actually sign him for a relative deal, and that would be pretty sweet. As far as we should hate this guy, it's got to be Josh Beckett. Kudos to him for throwing a no-hitter. Still got to hate him because he's wearing the Dodger blue. In fact, Ryu today was pitching a perfect game up until the eighth inning when it was broken up by a leadoff double against the Cincinnati Reds. So the Dodgers were tantalizingly close to having back-to-back no-hitters, one of them being a perfect game, which would have been an incredible history-making event in Major League Baseball. And to have something like that associated with the Los Angeles Dodgers would have turned my stomach a little bit. So thank you, Cincinnati, for breaking up that perfect game in the eighth. I appreciate it. I still hate you, Josh, for pitching a no-hitter, because that just shouldn't be associated with the Dodgers. Dodgers shouldn't throw no-hitters, especially not against the Giants. So hopefully that will never happen again. And why will we win it all? Pretty much if they stay healthy. I still am really afraid of the injury bug. It seems to be almost bubbling at the surface right now. There hasn't been like a huge major injury, but it's been all these little piddly things, and the Giants have been able to kind of put their fingers in the dike, the proverbial dike, and they've held everything at bay, and they have the best record in all of Major League Baseball. So no one should be complaining. But I am just really worried that it's a house of cards, and as soon as one or two guys go down for an extended period of time, that's really going to be the end of this team. Not they would be last place or anything like they were last year or close to it, but I really am worried that, you know, Posey might have a continuing neck issue. You know, Matt Cain seems to be now having some random accidents all over the place, and if Petit's always going to replace him, that doesn't always bode well for the Giants. You know, you had Lopez, who just came out of a bumpy road, and apparently he actually had an injury. He had a cranky elbow, as they called it. But what's interesting about Major League Baseball is that, especially with your specialty relievers, you don't necessarily want to report that kind of information to the public, because the teams that you're going to play in the future are going to use that and go, well, if he has a cranky elbow, we might set up our pinch hitters a little bit differently. So it's a little bit of that cat and mouse chess game going on. But apparently Lopez is through that, and he actually pitched very well today against the Cubs, setting everybody down that he had faced. So it's little things like that kind of concern me. You know, Brandon Hicks is doing an admirable job of replacing Marco Scudero in terms of, you know, the lack of contact and moving runners over certainly has been replaced by the power, but I'm afraid that power is just not going to last the entire season. And as the strikeouts mount and the crucial hitting situations mount where he's swinging and missing, a little bit worried about that. Brandon Belt, of course, was a freak injury. He broke his finger, whatever, it happens. He'll be back in a few weeks, it looks like. Well, maybe 4 weeks, whatever it is. But it's little things like that really, really concern me. Michael Morse, although he's been relatively healthy this year, he has that injury-riddled history. And I'm just afraid we're only 2 months into the season. It's a six-month season. We have 4 months left. That's a heck of a lot of time for a hamstring to rip or a knee to go or an elbow to pop. And I just think that Michael Morse, he's just one of those guys where I know he's going to be on the DL this year. It's just going to happen. It's just a matter of time. Pablo doesn't have any hamate bones left, so hopefully he doesn't go on the shelf anymore. And he's lost that weight, and he's been relatively healthy this year. The pitching has, of course, the bullpen especially, has been the driving force of the Giants this year, despite the fact that they lead the National League in home runs, because I don't count the Colorado Rockies. I just don't. So they lead the National League in home runs right now. And that's, of course, been a huge bonus for them. And that, in combination, has what has led the Giants to have the best record in Major League Baseball. But again, you get a couple, three key injuries where guys are out for more than a month, separated out during the season, and they could easily be at 500 or worse ball, and that could be their demise. So I think that is absolutely the key to the Giants season. Of course, every week is a different key, so who am I to say? So that's going to be it in this abbreviated episode. Episode number 63, in fact, the Gene Machi, the Machi Man episode. Forgot to mention that at the beginning of the show. In fact, we're going to be running out of numbers soon. So if you've got any recommendations on how we should be numbering or naming our episodes, please do so. We may have to switch to choice quotes after the number. But anyway, I was your host, Chad King. You can follow TortureCast on Twitter at TortureCast or follow our blog at TortureCast.com. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and other audio formats, including Podomatic. We post up our audio and show notes on the website, TortureCast.com. You can follow us individually. I'm at ChadK21. You can follow Willie, the missing Willie, at WillieDills. And, of course, Ben. Happy birthday, Ben. I think he turned 18 today. He's going to kill me for that. At Fried Duck. You could also follow TorchCast, of course, like I said, at TorchCast. But that's going to be it for an abbreviated TorchCast. I hope that the lack of conversation was at least remedial enough for you to understand. And I'm going to go ahead and give a bonus check mark to the fact that it was under an hour. You know, you'll take lack of conversation for a short podcast, won't you? I will. I'll listen to this on my drive to work. My work will appreciate that. So anyway, for Ben and for the absent Willie, this is Chad King signing off for TortureCast, and we'll see you next time. Boom. Fruition wasn't no mistake, hard work and ambition, couple key trades and Hall of Fame pitching, all helped accomplish the mission. All competition, better beware, we only getting better, better be prepared. So to all the haters, let me make it clear, we ain't going nowhere, we staying right here. Feeling like a giant, defying the East Coast bias. They try to deny the respect we desire, better watch out cause they sneaking up behind us. But all that I can see is the trophy to remind us, everyone we defeated, we ready for the new season. I thought I told you already, we never gonna stop believing, well believe it. Champ and Ash Keys it. Now put your hands up and repeat it. Let's go, Giants! SF Giants! 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 Yeah, back up to bat. Can't mention orange, I forget the black. Ash, Khan and Bailey going back to back. Bye bye, baby, you can check the stats. 2 million hits. We on the map. Yeah. We off the wall. Yeah. We in the gas. Yeah. I'm coming home. The park is packed. Let's go, Giants fans. One more time. Where you at? Let's go. Hey, we lost the party. Not just the city, but in Oakland and San Jose. What's the colors? Black and orange. What's the colors? Black and orange. What's the colors? Black and orange. What's the colors? Black and orange.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the Torture Cast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.